Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the City Council meeting, City of Arroyo Grande, for Tuesday, June 27th. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Dickens.
Here.
Councilmember Costello.
Here.
Councilmember Arnold.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie.
Here.
And Mayor Ferrara.
Here. Next item is our flag salute, and we're very privileged this evening to have representatives from Boy Scout Pack 425. That's Den 2, the Bears. Did I get that right? Okay. And also Girl Scout Troop 1016. Did I get that right, ladies? Okay. If you would be so kind to lead us in the flag salute, we would be most appreciative. And also, if you would remain standing, our invocation this evening will be given by Dr. Mayor Harnish of Baha'i Faith.
Whenever you're ready.
Of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is a prayer from the Baha'i Faith on unity. Oh my God, oh my God, verily I invoke thee and supplicate before thy threshold, asking thee that all thy mercies may descend upon these souls. Specialize them for thy favor and thy truth. Oh Lord.
Okay, now I don't know if they told you what the process is here, but if Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts show up to do the flag salute, you get to spend a little bit of time telling us what kind of activities you've been doing here in your organization. So if you would, feel free. You can use a microphone and come up and tell us what you've been doing that's fun. And you probably have to grab that mic and pull it down so you can talk into it. There you go.
We graduated to Weebelos, and since the Boy Scouts are on summer break, I'm the only one that wasn't on vacation and could come.
Thank you for being here.
We broke for the summer, so we haven't been doing anything. But in the fall, we'll come back with cookies and
cookies and
nuts.
Oh, nuts. Here we go.
Okay, thank you. You know, if you guys hadn't hung around town, I would have had to do the flag salute. So I'm so glad that at least some of you were still here. So thank you very much, and you're very welcome to come back and lead us in the flag salute anytime. Okay? Thanks. Okay, that takes us to item number 5, special presentations, and we do have presentations this evening. I'm going to step down from the dais to present those. And I would like to invite Linda and Ken Oste to join me at the podium from Oste Realty and Insurance. And also, Anita Robinson. Anita, are you here? From Mission Community Bank. And Byron Grant from South County Realty, if you would please come up. For those of you who are not aware of the program, and I know by now most members in our community are aware of the program, it's been kind of a special project for our community development director, and Rob Strong has been our champion in this area. But all of the lights that you see going up in and around the village, the beautiful period lights that we see, have been largely put there by community donations and community participation and volunteerism. And so we try and recognize those members of the community who have contributed so generously to making sure this project is as beautiful as it is now appearing and materializing. And so we're very grateful this evening, and I have mayor's commendations for each of you. And first is for Mission Community Bank. In recognition of your generous contribution for the Village Streetlight Let There Be Lights program. So it's my pleasure to present this to you.
He would do so in honor of his parents, but he would not be present further. Recognition. I told him that nonetheless the city would say thank you, and again we thank you for making your contribution. There will be continued contributions, and we're moving into phase three, which will extend the existing lights from Short Street all the way to Crown Hill, and you're a large part of the ability to do that. So thank you again, and I'll get this to Byron. Would you please take a moment and say a word.
Ken and I made a donation for a lamp in honor of my mother. She lived with us for 22 years, I guess, and just recently moved to Illinois. She has terminal cancer, and so we thought since she was born and raised here all of her life that that would be a real nice honor for her. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much on behalf of the Board of Directors of Mission Community Bank and our staff in our Arroyo Grande office. Bob Grieve is our manager here in Arroyo Grande, and as you know, we've made a very big commitment to this community and hope to continue to do so. Thank you.
We very much appreciate your generosity, all of you. Thank you so much. Okay, that takes us to item six this evening, agenda review. Move that all ordinances presented tonight be read in title only.
So moved.
And all further readings be waived.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion carries. That takes us to item seven, community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for members of the audience to come forward and comment on items that are not published on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking any formal action on matters not published on the agenda. Any member of the audience who would like to come forward, this is an opportunity for you to do so. If you would state your name, please, and please abide by the 3-minute rule.
Colleen Martin, 855 Olive Street. I'm here very briefly tonight representing the Mike Titus Memorial Committee. As you know, the Cherry Creek proposed project is tentatively scheduled for the Planning Commission on July 18, 2006. So our committee was hoping that the council has approved the agenda item to have the idea of a citizen's appeal be on your agenda, and we were hoping the appeal item could be heard at the City Council meeting on possibly July 11th prior to the 18th, and that the committee could receive the staff report on the matter in time so its reply may be included with the staff submission to the City Council. Thank you.
Okay. Colleen, if you could follow up with Steve, or Steve follow up with Colleen. And
I could actually respond now if you'd like.
Okay.
I am currently working on that report, and as of now, our plans are to have it on the July 11th agenda.
That'd be wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Anyone else? Okay. No one coming forward. We'll close public comment on the consent agenda, and what is the will of the council? Any items to be pulled this evening? Councilmember Costello.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to pull 8F.
8F. Any others? Okay. Then I will I'll entertain a motion for approval of consent items 8A through 8E.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. There is a motion and a second. Taking a quick scan here. Nothing in there this evening?
No.
Okay. That's fine. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Arnold.
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens.
Yes.
Councilmember Costello.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie.
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar.
Yes. Thank you. Councilmember Costello, 8F.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is on the consideration of the contract renewal with the County of San Luis Obispo for Animal Control Services. And I just wanted to bring to light some issues that I had a conversation with the city manager about this. We're seeing significant increases in the next 3 years on this. 20% increase this fiscal year and 24% next year and the year after that. And in discussion with the city manager, I think we shared some concerns that first of all, that these increases are actually justified, and I guess at this point we have to take them on their word for it. But then also wanted to consider if there might be any other options or opportunities for us to pursue animal services at a lower rate. So I don't know if the manager might have some comments on that.
Sure, I'd be glad to respond to that. As Councilmember Costello stated, we have some significant concerns about the costs we've been receiving from the county animal control contracts that are being proposed. As Councilmember Costello mentioned, these are all in the range. We have three proposed future increases in the range, somewhere around 20 to 20-something percent. That's in addition to our last contract, which had at least two additional increases, similar increases of about 15 to 20%. So this is really about a 5 or 6 year period we've been going through this, which has had a major impact on our budget and has caused us to question, you know, the purpose behind needing to have so many increases. The county's justification is they have a policy to seek full cost recovery in their services and had not been doing that in the past and have been trying to rectify that through these increases. We still think they're awfully steep and should have been able to accomplish that before. So we did two things. We met with the jurisdictions of Pismo Beach and Grover Beach and tried to study alternatives for potentially offering the service ourselves on a regional basis. And none of those options really were deemed to be feasible. We could provide animal regulation on our own with not too much difficulty. The real challenge is providing the sheltering services. And we did look at a couple options there also, but nothing that we felt was something we could recommend. So at this time, we're recommending going ahead with the contract and renewing it. Since
Steve, what is the county indirect right now?
Indirect rate?
Right, for full cost recovery. Their overhead charge.
Probably find it in here. I don't have it off the top of my head. I can get that to you. Yeah, I think it would be better for us to, we can research that and get that back to you.
Well, that might be a place to start.
It's definitely something we'll be looking
at. I'm not certain what it is and how it stacks up comparatively to other counties right now, but you know, those things can range anywhere from 20 to 45%, and that's on top of baseline services, as you well know, and that's the killer.
That'll be a key thing we'll look at. We want to look at how they, you know, they take all these costs, they allocate a portion to county operations, and then they allocate others to the city operations, and then amongst the cities they come up with a system to allocate those, and it's very complicated. We haven't quite figured it out. We have found, I guess our initial analysis showed that there are a number of calls for service that have been identified in Arroyo Grande. They've turned out to be Arroyo Grande, rural Arroyo Grande residents that don't reside in the city, although they have Arroyo Grande addresses and zip codes. So that's kind of the first thing we're targeting. So I think there's a number of areas that may be uncovered as we go forward with this analysis.
Okay. Anything else?
No, thank you very much. I appreciate All right. the information.
All right. With that, if there are no other observations on 8F, I'll entertain a motion to approve 8F.
Mr. Mayor, I'll move that we approve 8F.
Second. All right. Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Councilmember Costello.
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold.
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie.
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar.
Yes, thank you. That will take us to item 9, public hearings. We have one this evening, consideration of placing sales tax measure and related advisory measures on the November 7th ballot.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Before you for consideration this evening are resolutions and ballot arguments to place a local sales tax measure on the November 2006 ballot. Specifically attached for your consideration are resolutions. First, a resolution calling for the submission to the qualified electors of the city of a measure and four advisory measures for the election to be held on November 7th, 2006. Secondly, is a resolution setting priorities for the filing of written arguments and also directing the city attorney to prepare an impartial analysis. Third is providing for the filing of rebuttal arguments. And lastly is recommended ballot arguments in favor of the proposed measures that are included. Funding, which is no longer available and cannot be fully funded with the city's existing revenue sources. Therefore, the city council directed staff to prepare an analysis of other funding alternatives, which was presented to the council in May 2005. At that time, the council directed staff to further pursue the potential option of a local sales tax measure. And then in December 2005, the city council approved a comprehensive public education program, which has been under implementation since that time. And then last month, May 2006, the council directed staff to proceed in preparing the actions necessary to place the local sales tax measure on the ballot, which is before you this evening. As you'll recall, the four primary needs identified in the long-range financial plan fall into four specific categories. The first is major transportation improvements, including the Briscoe Road, Halcyon Road interchange project. Second is infrastructure improvements and maintenance requirements, which consist primarily of street improvements, upgrade of the city's aging drainage system, and also protection of the city's creek system. Third is upgrades to the public safety facilities, staffing, and equipment. And lastly are improvements to city facilities needed to comply with Americans with Disabilities Act regulations. Now, we've recommended the local sales tax measure due to a number of advantages over other alternatives that were analyzed. First of all, it is low when compared to other areas of the state. The even after the proposed increase were to take effect, people in Arroyo Grande would continue to pay equal to or less than 85% of those in California. Secondly, it provides us a timing opportunity right now to coordinate the effort with other jurisdictions in the county to maintain some level of consistent countywide policy. Third, the sales tax would generate roughly the amount of funding needed to address the needs identified when combined with other city efforts underway, such as the Economic Development Program. Proposed is a half-cent or half-percent increase, and it is estimated that would generate roughly about $1.4 million annually. Lastly, and probably most importantly, is that the sales tax is paid by everyone who utilizes the city's services and infrastructure, and therefore it is both the most fair way to pay for these type of improvements and will also minimize the impact on local residents and property owners because we've estimated a significant portion of the sales tax revenue we receive is generated by people who reside outside the city. In preparing these recommendations, staff has completed a significant amount of research, including a benchmark study, which compared the city's operations to other similar jurisdictions around the state, which demonstrated that currently we are managing our operations and existing resources in an efficient manner. We also completed a survey of all cities in the state who have implemented similar measures, which indicated that not one city had experienced a negative impact. I think it's also important to make clear to the community that our projections indicate that the revenue that will be generated from the sales tax will be sufficient to address each of the four needs within the plan that has been identified. So voters are not being asked to simply vote for one of the four measures. The ballot arguments that are being recommended for the measures encourage voters to approve all four of the advisory measures. Lastly, accountability provisions have been included in the proposed local sales tax measure. First of all, the city will be required to mail to every household annually a summary of how the funding was expended in the prior year and how it is proposed to be expended in the upcoming year. Secondly, the City Council will be required to conduct a public hearing every 5 years to determine whether the revenue from the sales tax measure is still necessary, and the Council will have the authority to either reduce or postpone or eliminate the sales tax at that time. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have, and approval of all the proposed actions is respectfully recommended. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, we've obviously had many discussions on this issue. Any clarifications? No. Councilmember Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Steve, earlier today we were talking about that one provision. Did you have a chance to check and see in the actual language of the full text of the measure? Exhibit A talks about contracting with the state. The city contracts with the State Board of Equalization to perform all the functions incident to the administration and operation of the transactions. Do we know what kind of amount we're talking about?
Not yet. We're looking at that. That's a really good question we found. We don't necessarily know the exact amount because I think they take a little bit off the top before they send us the money. Our director of financial services is investigating that, unless she's around and has found that. We don't believe it's a significant amount based in looking in our files, but we will get back to you with that exact amount.
Thank you.
I don't think we have much flexibility in terms of how we do that.
Yeah, I don't think there's much option to do anything but do that, but I was just wondering what it cost.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good question.
We may have a quick source to get that answer for you, Steve, so we can connect with the Board of Equalization.
Yeah.
Any other questions or clarifications in the staff report? Okay, this is a public hearing. Any member of the audience that would like to come forward and comment on 9A, this would be an opportunity for you to do so. If you would please address the council as a whole and please adhere to the 3-minute rule. Anyone like to come forward at this time?
Steve Ross, 211 Garden Street. I noticed that they didn't talk in the measure that's presented tonight about any kind of a sunset clause. That would assume that there would be a tax in perpetuity that were continuing. I wonder if the council partially a quarter cent on a sunset clause, that it would be more acceptable to the public. I know that Cuesta College, which had a lot of specific items on where their money was going to be spent, was shot down pretty hard. And apparently the voting public in the county particularly, I'm not saying necessarily in the city, isn't looking forward to any new taxes. So I wonder if the staff might expound on how their search went, looking at other alternatives other than a tax that was going to last forever. Thank you.
I think, to some extent, Steve, I think Steve in his presentation sort of addressed what we're offering in place of a sunset clause. But, Steve, if you have anything else you want to amplify on that area, feel free.
Sure, thank you. I mean, we did do a lot of research on on those items, as you know, in our committee. We had a committee review of this, as well as staff and the council. And there was a number of alternatives. A true sunset clause, which is being reviewed by other agencies, which typically is 5 years. We just determined, our focus is how do we accomplish and meet the needs of the community that's been identified. And as much as we'd love to put a five-year sunset clause on here, because I think we all agree it would help to sell the measure to many voters, but it simply eliminated our ability to accomplish what we believe the community needs, and that's some major capital projects that will require us to finance over a long period of time, and we can't, at least in our good conscience, couldn't propose long-term financing unless we had a security that that money was going to be available for the full period of the length of the bond measure or the financing vehicle. So we determined that that was not going to be feasible for us. Now, we looked at the possibility of a long-term 20 to 30-year measure. Some people felt that that would be helpful. Others thought it wasn't really being honest with the community because our plans show that most of these capital needs, they're going to continue to have needs in the future. So, one, we may be misleading people thinking that there's this finite time period we need this money when there's not. So that was one concern. Another concern was they weren't sure it would be all that helpful in obtaining people's support. And so there was some feeling that might not be effective, as the other alternative, which is the one we mentioned, and that was to have every 5 years the city council review and have a public hearing. So instead of placing it on the ballot, is have the council have a public hearing, invite everybody to the community from the community to participate and share their concerns of anything that they feel had been done inappropriately, of how the money's been spent, or whether it was still needed. If at that time, if new additional state funding was somehow allocated, then we might be able to reduce the sales tax.
I wanted to kind of amplify on that a little bit, but I think I'll wait, and we'll see if we have any other members of the public that would like to come forward. And then we'll close public comment, and then the council will have an opportunity to comment. I'll save my comments until then. Anyone else? Okay, seeing no one. We will close the public hearing portion of 9A, and we'll bring this back to the council. And Councilmember Arnold, why don't we start with you at on my left.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, as I stated at our last hearing, I definitely have no problem supporting this. But I think one of the risks that you always run when you have a good-run organization, as we do in this city, is that the needs are definitely not as obvious as one would sometimes hope when we were looking for the funding. I think Briscoe is probably the most obvious, but the one that concerns me a lot is as we're slowly seeing some of our roads deteriorate and the funds aren't there to repair them as quickly as we'd all like to see, or the drainage and the water supply system that is becoming more dated. So while we all can be very thankful that we have a city that has run as efficiently as it has, with the loss of the state funds that we've seen, it's really important, I believe, that this measure does pass so that the city can continue to meet the obligations and expectations that the citizens of the city do expect. So I have no problem supporting this. I think it's a well-written document. I think the staff has done an excellent job reaching out to the citizens to try to inform, not influence, but basically let everyone understand why this is really important that it does happen. And I hope everyone will see it the same way that I do and can get behind and support it. So thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Dickens.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, I, too, follow this process throughout, and I think that it's prudent that we look at the different mechanisms that are available to us, and we asked staff to do that, and this is what was brought back. Since I've been up here in the last 8 years, the state has taken a big chunk of change away from our local funding sources, and it's made it much more difficult to provide the level of service and to do the things that we do that are expected here in the city of Arroyo Grande, and continue to expand, I think, the valuable programs that we have, such as public safety and provide for a good road system and circulation and those kinds of things. So, I think that certainly there's going to be some discussion at the polls in regards to tax versus no tax. And yet when I look at this and I look at the fact that reality is that we're going to be equal or less than most other communities throughout the state, even with this increase as far as our sales tax is concerned, that it just puts us in a similar spot to create the revenues necessary to continue to have the type of community that we do have. So I think that the voting community will see it that way. I think that staff has done a wonderful job in presenting the information. I think that the folks that have been elected to represent the community are looked at all the work the staff has put into it.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have to echo some of the comments that have already been made by other members of the council. First, I would thank staff for the work they've done. Then I'd also say that nobody likes additional taxes. I think that's safe to say. However, people do like improvements to the transportation system. We're getting to the point where some of our intersections, particularly Briscoe and Halcyon, are reaching a critical stage, and it's going to take dollars to fix those problems. And this is a reasonable source for those dollars. And that's going to be an expensive fix, and it's going to take funding it with some longer-term debt. And the steady stream of the increased tax dollars will pay for that debt. So that's why we have to go with a longer-term solution on this. We also need to improve our infrastructure, our drainage system, the streets. Streets are falling apart. They're deteriorating. And it is expensive to fix the streets. The third item is public safety. We have to replace our existing ladder truck. It's 20 years old, and it's no longer meeting safety standards. You can't just continue to do business like that. We have to replace that truck, and that's $750,000. It's not something you just go out and take out of the general fund and say, let's buy that. So we do have to plan to fund that, and we have to plan to obtain the dollars necessary. The police station was built back in the 70s, and staffing is tripled on that. So that building is inadequate, and that needs to be not repaired, but needs to be expanded and built upon. That's also going to take dollars. And we do need additional fire staffing. The last item, though, is ADA improvements. And the notoriety of the gentleman that went around suing everyone in Morro Bay and creating real stir, notwithstanding, we have to improve our ADA systems and compliances for people with disabilities. I've got some real appreciation for that. My mother-in-law is mobility impaired, and we've had her living with us for a while, and it is difficult to get around. My wife's a special education teacher with 5 children in wheelchairs, and when they go out in the community, it's a real struggle. And unfortunately, that's not something we want to do. That's something we have to do. We're going to have to comply with ADA improvements, and that's going to cost some dollars also. So when you put all these things together, it's going to cost us somewhere around $1.5 million on a continual basis to improve all of these things. Where's that going to come from? And I think staff has identified a reasonable source for this that does have a minimal impact, the minimal impact we can have on all of us in the community, to generate $1.4 million a year with a half-cent sales tax increase. As I said earlier, nobody likes additional taxes. But this is a way to spread the pain out to everyone in the community, as well as the tourists and visitors come. They'll help. They're going to take advantage of the streets and roads and maybe fire service and police service also, and the ADA-compliant ramps and accessibility. So it's only appropriate that when they come to visit our community and they buy merchandise here, they pay in a little additional sales tax also and help to support this. I support what staff's put in front of us. I applaud them in doing it, and I can fully support going forward with this. Mr. Mayor, let's put this on the ballot.
Road improvements increasing far in excess of any, even the increase in property taxes we're seeing. We're seeing 9 and 10% increases in property tax income, but we're seeing 25 and 30% increase in the building costs of some of these major road improvements. The communities that have been successful in keeping up with this kind of things are the communities that, one way or another, have, in fact, stepped up and come up with the funding to get these done. And that's why when we look around, we see that actually most cities have already gone to this kind of a sales tax structure, and we're just catching up to what other cities have already done. I do want to speak somewhat to the sunset issue. I do think that because of the bonding issue here, we would be looking at a 20-year sunset. I suppose you could say that's better than us, but it's so far out that I almost think it would be a negative to the public that it's beyond most of their recognition. I do think that the opportunities afforded in a 5-year review, and of course the public always has the opportunity that if they didn't think the tax was appropriate 5 years from now through the initiative process, they could eliminate the tax as well. So I can support what's going forward this evening.
Okay. Thank you. One of the nice things about going last, especially when everyone agrees, which is most of the time, is that my thunder has been stolen. But I do want to just make a couple of quick comments and amplify on what's already been said. And I know there's been some concern about the sunset. I want to just pretty much put my period on it. One of the things that I've seen happen, particularly as a result of the transportation money that's been distributed through SLOCOG, and I sit on that board, and I realize that, as I've mentioned many times before, if we are going to take advantage of partial funding opportunities through Caltrans and the state money, that the limited state money that is available, we're going to have to come up with substantial matching funds. That's the name of the game. You'll hear more about that when I give my report from SLOCOG in a few minutes. But the reason why I bring that up is because it is very clear to me that from a funding standpoint, a sunset, in my mind, would not promote the flexibility that we need to acquire funding. One of the things that I think most people may not clearly understand is that even though we come up with a substantial amount of local funding, which will help us, help our place, if you will, in the queue in terms of accelerating projects ahead, it still requires that we go out and meet the planning requirements that the state has. We still have to go through a very lengthy planning process. So come November, if we have a 20-year sunset, but yet we're not able to fund or not able to get through the planning process for another 3 or 4 or 5 years before that project is ready to fund for construction, now we're only dealing with 15 years. And it's very difficult at that point in time to move forward with long-term financing when you only have that amount of time left. The other thing that was mentioned that I believe has become crystal clear these days is the cost of construction materials and the degree to which that has fluctuated, and I know Steve has. As has been stated, nobody likes a new tax, but these projects that we have described through the advisory measures, which, by the way, I really appreciate, Steve, the work that you did in looking at other jurisdictions that have used this language and used it successfully, because even though these measures are advisory, I think they are so descriptive so that it holds us accountable. And I'm hopeful that our community will realize that accountability is there. I think the realization, pretty much as Councilmember Costello said a moment ago, nobody likes a new tax. It's very difficult for people to perceive that things are going wrong when everything seems to be going right. The systems are still working. Yeah, our roads are starting to disintegrate a little bit. But you flush the toilet, the sewer system works, you turn on the water tap, and you get water. Everything seems to work, and so it's difficult at times for people to understand that, yes, it's working now, but if we look into the future, we realize these systems have been in place for decades. They're going to need to be replaced. That's what this is all about. It's not very difficult to convince people that we need to fix them when they break, and when they break, there's usually little warning. And that's a point in time when we have to be in a position to move quickly. And in some instances, we're talking about substantial major repairs. So these are not nice-to-have things. I know none of my colleagues, I don't, like to sit up here and tell our community members that, yeah, here comes another tax. But I think the sales tax approach is probably the most fair, most equitable way of achieving our financial goals. We have to do this. It's not a nice-to-have thing. It's a must-have thing. So I'm hopeful that we can continue to get that message out to the community. One thing about this community, our community members have always been very perceptive and very aware and very involved. And so I'm hopeful that this is one issue that the citizens of Arroyo Grande will grasp, understand, and know that we're not just up here pitching for a tax that we may or may not need. This is vital for our future. So I am wholeheartedly in support of this measure. We're going to continue on with the public education and hope for the best in November. And so I'm very supportive, and with that, I will entertain a motion. Well, don't all jump in at once here.
All right. Mr. Mayor, I'll make a move that we adopt the resolution of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande ordering the submission to the qualified electors of the city a measure and four advisory measures relating to the establishment of a local transactions and use tax, sales tax, at the general election to be held on Tuesday, November 7th, 2006, as called by resolution number 3925.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on this one? Hearing none, roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar?
Yes. Okay, we have one more resolution.
I recommend a resolution of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande providing for filing of rebuttal arguments for the city measures submitted at municipal elections.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second by Councilmember Dickens. Roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
And Mayor Farrar?
Yes. Thank you.
We still need to do the ballot measures.
Did we get them all, Tim?
We did. We'll still have to take action on the ballot measures, which are attachment one. You can take them as a group. I mean, on the ballot arguments. Those would be the last three pages of your packet. You can take them as a group, though.
But wasn't that covered in the...
It would be recommendation number four in the recommendation section of your staff report. Approve the arguments to be submitted in favor of the measures.
Well, those are attachments to the resolution that we just approved. Do they have to be, are they not?
Actually, they're not. They're not. They're separate.
Okay, so they're attachment to the staff report, not this ordinance. Okay. But you can understand why we were a little confused, because they were placed right after the ordinance. So,
okay, I'll move that the City Council approve the arguments to be submitted in favor of the measures.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for the attached arguments. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you.
Ms.
Okay, now are we legal?
Yes.
All right.
Mr. Mayor, can I just add a couple of comments? One,
sure.
If that's all right. One, you had mentioned continuing on with the public education process, so I'd just like the opportunity to emphasize to the community that anybody interested in questions or additional information or presentations on this to continue to call us at City Hall, and we will work with anybody out there that has questions and would like to get additional information. Second, I'd like to just take the opportunity to commend the leadership of the entire council, who's worked very hard throughout this process and on a very difficult issue. I'd like to particularly recognize Mayor Farrar again, who has taken an individual role in devoting quite a bit of time to assisting with this, and it's been extremely, extremely helpful to us. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. That takes us to item 10, continued business. We have none. Item 11, new business, none as well. Item 12, city council reports. I'll go first with
Mr. Mayor, could I'll say
to make viable a flight that's going to connect San Luis Obispo with Salt Lake City, another hub. And that will be the Delta connection that will be flying out of San Luis and direct to Salt Lake City. So that will be another opportunity, just as the Phoenix flight has been very successful for us on America West, which is now, I guess, part of U.S. Air, we will have another option besides San Francisco and Los Angeles. So don't all of you cheer at once. we've had an opportunity to move forward with a lot of our enhancement projects in the county. One thing that I did want to highlight is the 2006-2007 unmet transit needs. I think the last report that I gave, I talked about expanding Sunday service and evening service. Part of that expansion is going to be on the Mesa, and there was some concern about the additional cost being passed on to the cities for that. And, Steve, I think one thing that I don't know if you got a copy of this, but we took issue of, I guess, some of the lack of clarification with the RTA budget on that. There's been a new budget page published that corrects the fact that the costs will be minimal if they exist at all. That's going to be a pilot program, and so what we did was clarify the time span of that pilot program, so the costs that they were going to push forward have been backed out of the RTA budget. So I don't know if Angela got a copy of this or not, but or if you did.
Yeah, I think I got one in the email.
Okay, I'll leave this with you if you want. One of the other things that I wanted to comment on as far as Sloak Hog is concerned, I think at the last meeting I mentioned to you what's happening up in Atascadero with the 41-101 interchange. And there was some issue, once again, about some design modifications, what was a proper approach to make that intersection work and what wasn't. But this kind of gets back to the sales tax issue and the whole sunset issue. The city of Atascadero was not granted an extension by the California Transportation Commission for planning for any additional design other than what was originally proposed. What has happened with that project is the costs have increased tremendously. And in order for that project to continue to move forward, and this is a prime example of what we're talking about here, the city is going to have to come up with a significant, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, to make this project work, because the state money simply is not there. So in order to move this forward, I've had discussions with Atascadero Mayor on this, and his quote was, we're going to have to bite the bullet and find the money somehow in order to make this project happen. So here's an indication of reality. One of the nice things about this is that, obviously, when you compare this to Briscoe Halcyon, it's nice for Atascadero because Highway 41 is a state highway. So Caltrans is ready to step up to the plate and at least expedite the planning process. But the funding is still going to have to come from the local jurisdiction in order to make this project work. But we did look at the budget for the coming year, and it looks like everything is in order there. And that concludes my report, and we'll go to Mayor Pro Tem.
There was no EVC formal meeting this period, but we did have a retreat. And coming out of that retreat were a couple of fairly interesting things. First, of course, I think you're all familiar that the role of the EVC in the past, they've had a particularly strong role in producing some seminars. They have a fairly successful loan program, and they've also worked quite a bit with businesses on relocating. Those efforts will continue. The loan program has been off a little bit lately, but I'm sure that it's more related to the kinds of applications they're getting. The three new directions that they're looking at developing are first looking at doing what are called economic impact reports, looking at the impact that either a particular business or a particular industry may have and you know, the kinds of jobs they'll create, what kinds of revenues and what kinds of housing demands they may have. They're also looking at a significant increase in their communications process, looking at redoing the newsletter, of course, and those kinds of things, but also tying that into much more of a business advocacy role. And the third area that they've always been working on, but that they're really going to focus on, is going to be more private sector sponsorship. And I think they've been particularly successful over the last 6 months in making, through that private sector sponsorship, making that organization much more physically sound. So I actually have an additional comment that I'll bring up under council comments about the direction that perhaps we should be going in the future with the EBC. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Dickens.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mine's going to be extremely brief because the South County Area Transit canceled their last meeting due to lack of agenda items, so we had no meeting. And the South County Youth Coalition schools out, so I've not been able to or have not attended that in the last month. So I have no report.
We did want to acknowledge Councilmember Dickens. If you could do an up close on Councilmember Dickens, he has a new haircut for the summer. So or lack of hair for the summer. So we wanted to acknowledge that. So. There it is.
No hint of jealousy, is there?
There is. Mine's the wrong color. Okay. Councilmember Costello.
The Zone 3 Water Advisory Board met, and we're continuing to move forward, still waiting for the Habitat Conservation Plan to be approved and to move forward with that. APCD met, and we reported successfully that the lawnmower exchange program worked very well. I think there still may be some units available, though, on the electric mowers. I'm not sure how we're going to be handling that. Fire Oversight Committee met on a regular basis, and the big thing that seems to be working well, I don't know if he's ready to make any comments tonight.
Yeah, I mean, we're making pretty good progress, actually. It's kind of divided into two phases. We're trying to do as much of the work in-house as we can amongst the committee, and then realizing we're going to probably have to hire a consultant to come in and do a portion of the study. But unlike some of these other studies where you bring in the consultant, they kind of come up with a lot of general recommendations. We're trying to do all the general stuff ourselves. And then have a consultant come in and just do the cost, you know, identify the technical equipment that we'd need and really cost out the things. And so we're trying to get as far as we can before recommending that. We're pretty much at that point. So we're going to, at the next meeting, a number of individuals were supposed to be bringing back sample RFPs from similar jurisdictions. Also similar structures that other JPAs have used for setting up these type of things. And then we're also bringing the unions in to, they've actually participated in every meeting, but on the agenda is we're asking the unions to identify some of their concerns so that hopefully we can get those addressed throughout the process. So within the next couple of meetings, we'll have a proposal at least to go out and hire this consultant, which would be the final stage of the process.
Well, can I make a comment about that, Steve? at a point in time when you feel that it's necessary for that additional information to come in through or study to come in through a consultant. Is that something that's going to be brought back to each of the participating jurisdictions?
Well, to be brought back to the consolidating committee that oversees all the jurisdictions, and I assume it'll be up to them to determine kind of the charge of the way this was structured is at the minimal, each member of that group was to report back to the full board and get their feedback. So,
well, I'll just add my two cents then for Councilmember Costello, and that is that I think in terms of, you know, the option of either going out and hiring a consultant to come in and take a look at our situation, I would opt first, and I don't know if it's possible to look at the results of consultant studies in other jurisdictions where they've actually implemented a joint dispatch and look at the outcome of some of those other studies to see if any of that is transferable. And the extent to which we can minimize or even eliminate the involvement of a consultant to come in and do this, I would certainly be in support of that.
I think that's specifically what our objective is to minimize that role and try to get that information you're talking about and use that in our analysis as determining what specifically we want to do. All we're talking about is a consultant at the very end coming in and doing some of the costing for us, and also somebody that has the more technical knowledge in terms of dispatch equipment that can come in, really make a recommendation for us. This is the type of equipment you're going to need. These are the costs. But most of the operational recommendations, we're trying to come up with most of that on our own.
And we may well be able to tap into government resources here in the five cities that can shed some light on that as well. That are in the
city did send staff, but I have not had a chance to see the minutes from that. But I did also bring in that I'm going to give to staff tonight. This was from the meeting before, which is the Water Smart Landscapes for California. This discusses basically the whole water conservation plan that the state is looking at right now and some of the procedures they'd like to see possibly implemented. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. That takes us to item 13, City Council Member Items. You'll see me on the agenda, A here, Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, regarding the Arroyo Grande Creek Watershed. This is a this is an element of the overall project that we purposely waited to address until after the Zone 11A-218 election. And most of you, if not all of you, are aware of the fact that election was tremendously successful. Gives us some hope, perhaps, for November. The residents down there overwhelmingly passed the ballot measure to, in fact, assess themselves at a higher level for maintenance to the creek. And during this process, we had been discussing the concept of an MOU, and the MOU would address the roles and responsibilities, the buy-in, if you will, from all of the stakeholder agencies. And as has been the case, and I've reported it many times, the City of Arroyo Grande is one of those stakeholders. We have been, I guess, identified as a contributor to some of the downstream problems, and as a result of that, we've undertaken some enhanced watershed creek protection policies. And with the number of organizations that are involved in this process, it was felt by the Zone 11A Advisory Committee and also the task force from Zone 11A that a memorandum of understanding that would in fact poll each of the stakeholders, make a determination as to what the organizations would be willing to do to contribute to making the watershed and the creek system operate more effectively now and into the future. The centerpiece for this MOU would be the implementation of the alternative study that was created by Swanson Hydrology. There were some very specific projects in that study, some of which are focused here in the City of Arroyo Grande. So The purpose for this item being on tonight's agenda, one thing that I'd asked Tim to do that I thought I was home free on, but I guess not, we need everybody's permission to continue to pursue a format for an MOU. Now, where we are right now, and the way that I've explained it to Tim and the way I'll explain it to you, is that we've already undertaken some significant activity and effort to do our part. And so the rest of the stakeholders in Zone 11A are looking to us for some form of a template, a format, if you will, for an MOU. And so that's all I've asked for at this portion, or at this point in time, is for us to start the process and to plug into our contribution, if you will, our piece of the MOUs and organizations. That would be the next stop, would be the county and the RCD. And the reason why it's so critical for those two agencies to come online is because now we're going to actually be talking about how the Swanson study will be implemented on a project-specific basis. Who's going to go out to bid on the contractor? Who's going to shoulder the responsibility for operational supervision of the project, so on and so forth. So that's something that the county and primarily the RCD are going to have to reconcile. Just some preliminary discussions, since the county will be collecting the assessments from Zone 11A. They've already indicated that it would probably be fitting for them to act as sort of the bank, which means when the bills come in, the county would pay them. So that's kind of behind-the-scenes discussion that's taking place right now, but everybody's sort of waiting on us. And so I don't know how we want to work this, whether we're in a position right now to give guidance or direction to staff, or if this has to come back as a formal agenda item for us to give Tim permission to continue what I hope he's already doing. I don't know how you want to work it. But this is sort of time sensitive.
I'm comfortable the full council giving us direction to go ahead and prepare something. Obviously, it would have to come back for approval on a formal agenda. But I think under council member items, if you're just the purpose is to ask staff to go forward and do some work. So I think that this is appropriate use of that, that portion.
Once again, what we're asking for is a template, an MOU template. And where it says City of Roy Grande is a stakeholder, we're going to take what we're already doing with our creek policies and setback policies and plug it in. And that's all that we're going to do for now. And then in draft form, it's going to float around to all of the stakeholders, and they're going to plug in what they are either doing now or intend to do in the future. So anyone have a problem with Tim continuing to do that?
I can support that.
Definitely support call for it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Is there a another council member item here?
I did. I apologize for not getting this earlier, but I thought I could do it under reports. I think a year ago when we adopted the budget, there was some question about the city's participation in the EVC, and I did want to see us bring that back either as part of the budget review or as a separate agenda item to take a look at what the EVC is doing specifically for the city and what other alternatives there might be out there for economic development that may or may not work better. So I wanted to see that come back as a separate,
a separate agenda item or part of the budget review.
Excuse me.
You're all choked up about
that. I know.
Sorry.
So I just want to get some feedback on whether anyone wants to look at that or not. I know that last year some people did.
Well, I personally would definitely be in favor of bringing it back as a discussion item and perhaps an action item. I've had some concerns about the EVC for a number of years. And, even if it's determined that that we're okay there, I think it's still worthy of review, particularly in view of the in-house community development and economic development that staff has been doing and the success that we've had. and the other economic development programs that we have working. There may well be another use for the money that we're spending on EVC, but we can't really get there unless we bring it back as an item and open it up and unwrap it. Any other comments?
I would agree.
I would not be opposed to bringing it back as a council agenda item for discussion. There may be some other ways that we can accomplish this. And I also have some concerns about some of the other elements of that that piece of legislation as relates to travel policies and things like that. So I would like to see the thing come back as a an agenda item that we can explore. There may be some shortcuts.
Well, we're working on the whole ethics policy, so it might be good to bring everything together. You can talk about kind of the whole global aspects. We have the ethics policy and the training. And I think using Tim is a good option. We discussed, and he covers thoroughly all the legal aspects. We're wondering if you might, some of the other programs kind of go a little beyond that and cover some just discussion of kind of scenarios that may come up where there's gray areas, might be interested in get into some kind of that discussion, might be helpful. But and there's other ways to streamline it even more and cut it down just to utilize online services or so. So I think probably best if you'd like us to bring some options to you with a little bit of analysis in terms of what are the pros and cons of each option and let you decide from there.
Well, I know that I know this very well, exempt employees, at least at the state level, we have to take it every year. And you mentioned the online version, and that's an option that I didn't see in the preliminary report from Tim. But it's easy, it's quick, it's something we can all do, and I think we need to look at that as an option. It's on the Attorney General's website, and it's very easy to do. So, anyway, but that's some of the things we can take a look at. And they even cut a little certificate for you that you can keep here. Okay. Anything else on that, Joe? City manager items?
None this evening.
Okay. Any council communication? You guys are awful quiet tonight, especially you guys. Staff communication? Anything tonight?
No, sir.
All right. That'll take us to item 17, community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for, once again, members of the public to come forward. Items that are either on the agenda or not. Once again, the Brown Act restricts the council from taking any formal action on items that are not published on the agenda. But this is, once again, a last opportunity for members of the public to come forward.
Steve Ross, 211 Garden Street. I think this is an appropriate comment session to bring up this item. I was wondering if it would be possible for the city staff, and probably would have to be something that the Planning Commission mission meeting, which would be 2 weeks farther down the road. I just thought that might be a nice continuation of what the City Council does in this respect, allowing the public to get up and make final comments. It allows the public to make comments on decisions made by the commissions and the councils after the fact. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We'll pass that on. Anyone else? Okay, seeing no one, we will close our final public comment period, and that takes us to item 18, which is adjournment.
Seconded.
Thank you very much, everyone.